Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is the Right Way Ministry coming to you. Haven't been on the radio for a while. I'm trying to get my schedule together. Well, just blessed to be here and blessed to have you on the on Blog Talk Radio. Let us open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today, and we thank you, Lord, for how you've blessed us. Now you've allowed us to minister on the radio and how you've kept us. And Lord, we just know that you are the God of the universe and you have everything in your hands, oh God. And Lord, we trust and believe you and we endeavor to obey you, oh God. And Lord, we ask that you just give me the words to say and let me minister, help me to minister through the hearts and the needs of the people. In Jesus' name I pray. Well, again, hello. This is Reverend Sophia Johnson Parks from the Right Way Ministry. Welcome to Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters, Blog Talk Radio. Supported by Kingdom Builders Development. We'll get right into the tabernacle. We've covered several things regarding the tabernacle. We went through the colors, which are blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. We talked about gold, silver, and bronze. And now we're going to talk about the structure of the tabernacle. All this is found in the book of Exodus, towards the last chapter, starting with maybe Exodus 25 and onward. The tabernacle measured in the Old Testament in cubits. So we tried to give it an English translation of measurement. And these are estimates. And these are the English estimates. The tabernacle is 45 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 15 feet high. Now, I'm sort of challenged in terms of what 45 feet looks like. But it's 45 feet long, feet high, and 15 feet wide. Well, excuse me. Let me take that back. The tabernacle is a structure, is a building inside a fenced-in area. The fence surrounding the tabernacle is 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 7.5 feet high. And this is in English measurement. And you can find that in Exodus chapter 27, verses 9 through 18, Exodus 38, verses 9 through 7, and Exodus 40, verse 33. And that will give it to you in cubits. So there's a fence around the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle itself is a structure building. Also, the fence around the tabernacle is shaped with a lot of squares, you can see by the measurements. It's not 20 feet by 20 feet by 20 feet by 20 feet. It's not. Again, the fence around the tabernacle is 150. The fence is 150 feet long. The width across is 75 feet wide, and the height is 7.5 feet high. The tabernacle, the structure itself, is 45 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 15 feet high. And the tabernacle itself is structured like a rectangle. And if you place the tabernacle inside of the fenced-in area, it covers the upper one-third of the fence. So there's a space between the back of the tabernacle and the back of the fence. And I don't know what that distance is, but it doesn't butt up against it. It's a little ways away from it. And the tabernacle was a structure that contained the holy place and the holy of holies. Now, remember that the tabernacle represents, in picture form, our salvation in the New Testament. You're saying, really, Sophia, how is that possible? So let's go through this. The tabernacle was the structure that contained the holy place and the holy of holies. Now, with the structure being a rectangle, tabernacle divided into three. The upper third of the tabernacle contained the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant rested, and the cherubim sat on top of the Ark, which is a box laid in wood, and the cherubim sat on top, which was solid gold. Gold represents God, wood represents him. And silver represents redemption. Let me say that again. Gold represents God. Silver represents redemption. And wood represents man. The holy place. Exodus 26, verse 33, and Hebrews 9, verses to the holy place. Daily to minister to the Lord. And the table of showbread stood on the right, the seven-branched candlestick stood on the left, and the altar of incense stood in the holy place right in front of the veil of or the entry into the Holy of Holies. The holy place maintained the table of showbread, which was 12 loaves of bread, refreshed every Sabbath. Now, remember I said this represents our salvation. And it's types and shadows of things to come in the New Testament. The table of showbread is the representation of the 12 Christian doctrines in the New Testament. So what are the 12 Christian doctrines? Justification is one, regeneration is three, salvation is four, righteousness is five, and redemption is six. And you say that there's 12. Well, let me just go through these six first, because they're not in in an area where they're all together. Justification. The Lord has justified us and made us in right standing with God. Justification. He set us apart and causes us to be holy unto him. Regeneration, we're consistently being regenerated by the word of God. As the scripture says, washing of water by the word. So as we consistently study the word, consistently be in his presence, consistently do the right thing, consistently, we're being consistently regenerated. What does Hebrews teach you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? And be not conformed to this world, but be not conformed to this world. So how do you not be conformed to this world? How do you, from being taken in by all the isms of the world, how do you do that? You have to stay in the Word. You have to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. To God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing means continual. That you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. So regeneration is consistent. It's consistent. Then there's salvation, acceptance of the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ. So once you're saved, I'm not so sure I believe in once saved, always saved. I'm not sure I believe in that. But I do know if you accept the Lord, once you've accepted the Lord as your Lord and Savior, and you've asked for forgiveness of sins, he's forgiven you. Then that incorruptible seed that is of the Holy Spirit is implanted in you. And once that seed is implanted in you, then you begin to grow in grace and grow in God, and you grow in grace and you grow into God. Righteousness, we're made the righteousness of God. So when God looks at us, he sees us through the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see our sins. He doesn't see what we do, what we don't. He sees us as righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Then there's redemption. Jesus has paid the ransom for us based on the fact that he was crucified. He shed his blood for us. So we've been redeemed. Now, the other six are in Hebrews chapter 6, laying on of hands, repentance from dead works, baptisms, resurrection of the dead, faith toward God, and eternal judgment. Based on what you believe, there are two baptisms, baptism into the body of Christ, baptism in water, three, and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And baptism by fire. That's four. So the table of showbread represents the 12 doctrines that we need to understand so that we could grow in grace. Let me read you Hebrews chapter 6. What is it? Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So as we grow, we need to understand what these doctrines are. We do not need to be babies. We desire to send your milk of the word that we may grow thereby. But who wants to be a 30-year-old baby, even in the natural side, a 30-year-old baby who needs to be diaper changed and fed is really a 30-year-old baby. Our babies don't live to be 30. We might have adults who we need to, who have the mind of a baby, but I'm saying a 30-year-old baby is not normal. So how can you be a 30-year in Christ and don't even know how to pray? Don't even know about spiritual warfare. Don't even know about justification and sanctification and regeneration and salvation and righteousness and redemption. So you've been in church all this time, and what were you doing? What were you studying? Not knocking you, just saying. Now it's time to grow up and know what we really believe. The Bible says, be able to give to every man a reasonable answer for the hope that lies within you. There are a lot of isms and a lot of schisms in a Protestant religion. All of these religions, Protestantism, Presbyterian, Methodist, Hellion, Baptist, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, Church of God in Christ, all have scriptures that they base their denominations on. They all have good things to say, and they all have good things, but they all do not embrace the total scriptures. So you, as a believer, whether you go to one of those denominations or not, you need to know for yourself the word of God, based on what's coming upon the earth, and we already know about the virus. You need to know that the word of God is true. We have watered down our Protestant religion. We have compromised the word of God. We have allowed all kinds of isms and schisms to get into the word, get into the church. Because we aren't studying the word. We're just not. We're not digging deep. We're not looking for the pearl. There's a parable in the New Testament that says there's a pearl that was buried in the field. So the word of God is alive and well, but you have to seek it out. Knock, he'll answer. If you ask, he'll give it to you. If you seek, you will find. The Holy Spirit is in the earth, willing, ready, and able to lead you into all truth that he will do for you. In John chapters 15 or 16, I believe it's John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit is promised. Well, he's here, and he will lead you and guide you. He is the Greek word for Holy Spirit is paraclete, and it means someone that walks beside you. We sing the song, lead me, guide me along the way. Lord, if you lead me, I will stay. The Holy Spirit will lead you and he will guide you. If you listen to him, he will not leave you nor forsake you. He is the Spirit of God. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you. And God places so much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. You can call God out of his name. You can call Jesus out of his name. You can blaspheme God. You can blaspheme Jesus. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there is no redemption for you. That's how much weight, authority he has placed on the Holy Spirit as he's dwelling in the earth. So you, those of you who make fun of the Holy Spirit and laugh about it when people laugh about it, it's not a laughing matter, people. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and he places a lot of authority, responsibility, and respect on the Holy Spirit. So let's not get off into that. Also, in this rectangular building are seven branches, the seven branch candlestick called the lampstand. And again, I said this represents a picture of our salvation. And I'm going to take it, and I'm going to say, I, Sophia, I'm going to say, the seven candlesticks are representation of the seven spirits of God found in the book of Isaiah. And it represents the seven church ages in the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 3. And we will go through the seven candlesticks. So I want you to get an understanding as we go through the tabernacle. Yes, it's a picture, but it's also a picture of what's happening in the New Testament. The seven golden candlesticks in the book of Isaiah represents the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, and the spirit of knowledge. And in the Testament it says, out of all you get between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, get an understanding. You can have all the knowledge, but if you don't have the wisdom and the understanding to apply that knowledge, it's no good. You can have all the wisdom, all the know-how, how to do something, but if you don't have the understanding of why it is, what it is, where it is, who it is, when it is, then you don't know what to do. But out of all of that, get an understanding of what's happening. So you can apply that to your own situation, things that are happening in your life. Get an understanding of it. Pray. Find out. Understand what's going on. Just like this COVID-19. Once our scientists get a real understanding, because no one really knows what this virus can do and cannot do, we understand it's mutating. We understand initially it was taken out to older people. Now, because of it being open, the states are opening back up, opening and closing, but opening maybe a little bit too fast, it's attacking the younger people. Funny thing, it's not attacking the children as much. So they really don't understand it. It's like an influenza, but what kind of influenza? They say it came from bats to humans. They crossed the human barrier and came into humans. But out of all the wisdom they have and all the knowledge, once they get the understanding of what this virus is, they can then come up with a vaccine, and then they can vaccinate. That's a real good example of what's happening, how wisdom comes into play. And there's the spirit of might, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of the Lord. I left off one. But the spirit of might, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord. Excuse me, of the Lord. I'm going to talk about the fear of the Lord. It's not fear that I'm afraid of you, Lord. It's fear that I'm in awe of you. As you begin to study the Word of God, and as you begin to study the Word, it's black and red, And people say, oh, the Bible is literature. Well, I think it's everything. It's the truth. It's the truth of God. If you really want to know about God, get into some good Bible study. Get in with some prophetic teachers. Prophetic, P-R-O-P. E-T-I-C. Prophetic preachers and teachers. Who are not only talking about the end time, but are giving you and filling you in on the history that happened well before humans were on the earth. Millions of years before the humans were on the earth. As an example, I couldn't place dinosaurs. I couldn't understand the Bible. I thought the Bible didn't talk about dinosaurs. I thought the Bible didn't talk about things before Adam and Eve. Well, if you believe in the gap theory between Genesis 1 and Genesis 1 and 2, there is billions of years. We don't know if it's millions or billions or trillions or zillions, but there's a long space. Because if you do the research and if you look up certain Hebraic words, or just English words, when in Genesis chapter 1 it says replenish and multiply, replenish. To replenish means to give something back or put something where something once was. If you do a study on that, then you begin to understand there were things that were happening on the earth before Genesis 1 and 2. What if you go to Isaiah chapter 14, when it talks about Satan being kicked out of heaven? If you do go in Ezekiel, it talks about the land that Satan had before he was kicked out of heaven. All those things are there. But we won't get into that. Maybe one day we will do a study on that. But anyway, as I'm saying, the Word of God is rich, 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 rich in science, rich in cultures, rich in eons before Adam and Eve. It's just rich, but you have to read it without the denominational eyes, and you have to read it with an open mind, and you have to read it with, if you have to read it with word upon word, precept upon precept, not going off into some wild tangent. But if you look at the word and read the word and let scripture illuminate and explain scripture, you will begin to see that the word of God is rich. There's so much to it. If you lived to be a million years, oh, you still would not understand all of the word of God. And yet, this is God's word. This is God's personality. This is His past, present, and future in here. All of this is in here. God's past, present, and future, his past, his present for us, and his future for us. Because God is outside of time. And, of course, we're people. And how do you say outside of time? God does not live in time. God does not live in time. So the seven candlesticks represents the seven spirits of God and the seven churches. We're going to run right through the churches right quick. And the reason I say they represent the seven churches because they also represent the seven things that God is going to do for us, for those who overcome. So you say, really, Sophia? I don't believe you. Okay. Let's see if we can go through this right quick. Then we will do the altar of incense, and hopefully we'll get to the altar of incense. But let me take a break right now. If you like what you hear, if you tune into Kingdom Builders Development Institute Blog Talk Radio, on a consistent basis, or every now and then you hit us and listen to us, not just me, but there are other ministers on Blog Talk Radio. We would like for you to share your bounty with us. We would like for you to donate to us. We will gladly receive whatever you give us. And this is how you do it. You go to Giveify, GIVELIFY.com. Then you go to the donors tab at the top. When you hit the donors bar, a big screen will pop up, and in the middle of it, it'll say to donate. Then you type in Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters. And then you follow the prompts from there. And we would love for you to give to us so we can continue to do this. If you would like to call, the number is 646-668-2780. And it's blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. And we thank you for your donation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Angel of the churches of Ephesus. There are seven churches. Seven churches in Revelation. And I'm going to list these churches. Ephesus, not necessarily in the order. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, yes, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Right now, not only does it represent the seven churches, but the church age. The church age for Philadelphia was perhaps in the early 1800s to, let's say, pretty much all the 1800s, when evangelism took a big foothold and began to, the Western world began to evangelize the world. America, England, Australia, and some of the European countries began to send missionaries around the world. Interesting. And I want to say, since I really didn't plan on doing this, I'm going to see if you just bear with me. I'm going to say what he said. And to the church of Ephesus, he has some things against them, but he also says, to him who overcomes, will he give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So this is a reward. These are the rewards. You will eat from the tree of life. In Smyrna, he said, he will give Smyrna crown of life. And these are the various church ages. He will give you hidden manna to eat. You hear my clicking? Because I want to make sure if someone calls me that I know what I said. He will give him power over the nation. This is for him that overcomes, him who can go through and remain. For starters, he will give them, they'll be clothed in white garments. Yeah, I always thought it was just the robe, but it's garments. And in Philadelphia, he'll make him a pillar in the temple of God. The last reward is Laodicea. That's our age. And let me read you what it says about the Laodicea. So the angel of the church of Laodicea writes, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Does that sound like the church today? I have seen a great falling away. I have seen a falling away from holiness. I've just seen it. It's just unbelievable, shocking to me. I grew up in holiness. And I'm not saying what you wear and how you comb your hair and if you wear makeup or jewelry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about holiness to the Lord. I'm talking about Christians who treat Christians bad, Christians who lie and think it's okay, Christians who do everything the world does and say, I'm all right because Jesus saved me. And all I have to do is repent. Christians who have allowed all kinds of Eastern mysticism enter into their church world. Christians who don't believe the Word of God is true, who don't believe the Holy Spirit is true, who go to church out of form and fashion and religious rites. Who don't really have a true relationship with God because they don't treat their fellow man right. I've seen a great falling away. But this, let me go on. But you are neither cold nor hot. So we got, what they call, super seeking churches where they give the people what they want. They give them a song, a 10-minute sermon, and then they're out and gone. Where is the Spirit of God? Maybe he's there. What if he wants to stay a little longer? What if he wants to linger around a little longer? Nope, they cut it down. They shut it down. Those are the churches today. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich. The church world is rich. Yes, we are. We got a good job. Have become wealthy. Yes, and have need of nothing. What do you need? Your bills are paid. You got money in the bank. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be valiant and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcome, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. For the church of Laodicea, will sit with Jesus from with the Father. So in essence, you will be able to sit on a throne. You'll have a throne. Now, I wonder, people of God, I wonder. Do we really believe that? Because the book of Revelation is the only book that says if you read it, it's a blessing to you. People don't want to read the book of Revelation because it's fearful. It's the testimony of Jesus. It's not fearful. It's to tell you what's coming. So we will be raptured up, whether some people believe in pre, post, and after the tribulation rapture. I tend to believe in pre because he's not giving us a spirit of wrath. I've accepted Jesus. I'm doing and living the best I know how. Why would he send me through the tribulation? What's the point? If I got to go through the tribulation, then I'll just live the way I want to live and then go through the tribulation and make it in. But I believe in the rapture. And he says those who are looking for him, he's coming. So if you're not looking for him, comes. He's not coming for you. He's coming for those who are looking for him. I trust that this has been of some help to you in understanding the tabernacle. And let me go over it just briefly. The tabernacle is enclosed in a fence. That's a rectangle. 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, 7.5 feet high. The tabernacle is a structure within the fence, the fencing, which is 45 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 15 feet high. And that's a rectangle. That rectangle, if you divide it into thirds, the upper third is where the Holy of Holies is. And we're talking right now the holy place. So you walk into, when you walk into the gate, there's a big, large courtyard, and we'll talk about that next week. Then you walk up some steps, and you walk into the holy place where all these various artifacts are. And then there's a veil, we'll talk about that next week, that separates the two, and then that's the Holy of Holies. Table of Showbread is in the holy place, with the 12 loaves that are replenished every Sabbath. Doesn't that seem a little... like we go to church every 7 days, but we fellowship with our people. We get the word, we get some music, we get to give our offerings and tithes every 7 days. So this bread is replenished every 7 days. The seven candlesticks, which represents the seven spirits of God, which represents the seven ages of the church age. Seven candlesticks represent wisdom, understanding, knowledge, might, counsel, spirit of the Lord, and fear of the Lord. The seven churches represent the seven candlesticks. Ephesus, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And then we talk about the altar of incense. We're just going to touch on this a little bit. Aaron the high priest burned incense upon the altar of incense every morning and every evening. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the horns of the altar were sprinkled with the blood of the sin offering. The altar of incense. Our prayers go up before God as a sweet-smelling savor. Altar of incense represents our prayers going up before God. Yes, he hears all our prayers. Now, whether he answers all our prayers the way we want him to, he does not. But the altar of incense representation of the prayers of the saints as they go forth, requesting, entreating, or just praising God, thanking God. Our praise and our prayers go up as sweet-smelling savor before the Lord. I want to touch back on the tabernacle, the building. We can now replicate and duplicate, and it has been done, in Michigan, to 75% to scale, the tabernacle and all the artifacts inside of the tabernacle. And we can see inside the tabernacle, there are all kinds of pictures on the internet. We see the ins and outs of the tabernacle that the Israelites never, ever did see. Only the priestly tribe, the Levites, could go in and out. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. As I said, he went into, the priest entered into the holy place daily to minister to the Lord, to change out the oil, to do the various things they have to do, to tend to the golden candlesticks, to look after the bread, to deal with the incense on the altar. The priest did that, and only the high priest, Aaron, can go into the holy place once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now we, on this side of the tabernacle, this side of the death and burial of the resurrection of Jesus, on the AD side, after the death of Jesus, we get to look into the tabernacle and we get to see what it was all about. We don't have to go to anyone. We are a priesthood, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are priests, are the ones who bring forth the praises of God. They're the ones who show forth the praises of God. We are those people. We are the church. The church is comprised of Jews and Gentiles, not just Gentiles, but Jews and Gentiles. They call them Messianic Jews. We don't have once a year where we have a Day of Atonement. Every day can be a Day of Atonement for us. We can go into the holy place, wherever you choose to make your holy place. You can go in there. So all of this where they were restricted, they worshiped God, how they did, what they did on the burnt offerings and different offerings and the heave offerings and lambs and goat lambs and doves and turtle doves and rams. God does not require a sacrifice from us. Of animals, he requires from us a sacrifice of praise. So when you feel like praising, when you don't feel like praising God, you should praise him because that's your sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise. And then praise whether you're sacrificing or not. We don't have the same restrictions that the Old Testament Hebrews had. We have a free, it's free. You can go sit in the park, you can sit in a closet, you can sit in your car, you can sit on your front porch, your back porch, whatever you choose, your bedroom, whatever you choose to be, your holy place, and you can commune with God. And I trust that those on the line are saved, but if you're not, let me offer Jesus to you. let me offer to you a wonderful God. Aren't you tired? Haven't you reached your bottom yet? Whatever that may be. The Spirit of God is hovering over and around to lead you to Jesus. All you have to do is confess the Lord Jesus Christ, that you believe God raised him from the dead, and you ask him to cleanse you of all your sins. Just simply say, Father, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And because of that, I believe that he died for my sins, and I ask you to take my sins away and let him come, and Lord, come in my heart to stay. And Lord, I trust and believe you and put my faith and trust in you, and I accept you as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that simple prayer and believe it and mean it, this is a new day. You've moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. You say that's so simple and easy. Yes, it's simple and easy to get saved. And now the journey begins. So I trust that you have accepted the Lord in your heart. Do this for me. Go tell someone you received the Lord in your heart today. You have to confess it. You can't do this in a vacuum. You can't be ashamed of this. You have to confess this. So go tell someone. Then we pray, Lord, I pray that you will send them to a church, a Bible-believing church, where they can grow, come what you've called them to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Again, we'd like to thank you for listening, and I'd like to ask that if you have enjoyed this, please go to Givelify, GiveElify.com. Tap the donors drop-down menu at the top of the page. Then go to donate to Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters, and please give. Thank you for your giving, and we ask that you come back again, not only the Right Way Ministry, but also other ministries that are on Blog Talk Radio under Kingdom Builders Development Institute. We thank you once again, and may God bless you.